welcome to this week's edition of the Breakout Hockey Program. My name is Adam Summers, and as always, I'd like to thank you very much for joining us on this special edition of the show, a short episode, as I record this late Tuesday afternoon, getting ready to preview Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. You may notice the show is, the audio sounds a little bit different. That is because I am recording this via my iPod Nano, coming to you live by way of MP3 in a parking garage in uptown Chicago. So making do with what I have, doing this show on the fly a little bit. Obviously, it will be a shorter show than usual, but I did want to get into everything that's taken place over the last several days in the Stanley Cup Finals, particularly just a crazy series in that it's really been two series in one, as many people have talked about. We've had the three games in Vancouver, which have all been very close, tightly played games. Two of those being 1-0 shutouts for Vancouver, all three being one-goal wins for the Canucks. And you contrast that with the Boston Bruins, the games that have been played in the Garden in Boston. Three laughers, really, three blowouts. You've seen as many as 7 or 8 goals scored in some of these games. Tuesday night's game, 5 goals scored by the Boston Bruins. Just in each of those games, really, Vancouver's had nothing. It seems as though with Vancouver in those games, they're coming into Boston just expecting that they can drop their sticks on the ice and come out with a victory. I mean, for that reason alone, when you look at some of the statistics in the series, it's pretty wild in that the goal differential is double digits in favor of the Boston Bruins. You look at Roberto Luongo's goals against average in the three games in Vancouver. I believe it's somewhere right around 1.70, whereas the three games in Boston, it is 3.76. So looking at all of that and heading back to Vancouver for Game 7, you would think, well, maybe the series is just going to follow the same pattern. Vancouver will win 1-0, maybe 2-1 in Game 7, and fully exercise their playoff demons of the last few years and win the Stanley Cup. To me, it's not quite that simple in that everything that's happened so far in this series with Vancouver up until Tuesday night's, or up until Monday night's game, up until Game 6, they have had precedent the last couple years being able to deal with. Obviously, you look at the first round of the playoffs this year for them, defeating Chicago in 7 games, being up 3-0 on Chicago, the Blackhawks coming back, almost winning the series, including 2 games where they were dominant, where they pretty much blew out the Canucks. Canucks came back, had a good effort in Game 6, didn't win, but came back and were able to win Game 7. They were able to draw upon that in this series in the Stanley Cup Finals in that they had 2 games on the road in Boston that they just got completely lit up. Luongo did not look good. Really should have been pulled in Game 3, was pulled in Game 4. Really, nobody on the team in those games has pulled their weight for the most part. But they were able to draw on that experience of what happened in the Chicago series earlier this playoffs to be able to come back and get a big win in Game 5. There's really no precedent for this group of Canucks, as far as I can remember anyway, in terms of then going back, being up a commanding, well, as commanding as a 3-2 series lead can be, but you're up 3-2 with a chance to win the Stanley Cup. I mean, this is it. This is, you know, you empty the tank 60 minutes and you come out ahead with the cup. I mean, there's no real secret as far as the level of effort that's needed to win a game, you know, a deciding game. It may not lead to a win, but you at least expect an effort that is worthy of having the possibility of winning. And that is certainly far from what occurred for Vancouver in Game 6 in Boston. Just really, other than the open net, I believe it was Henrik Sedin, the very similar play to what happened in Game 6 in terms of a intentional bank shot by Bieksa off the boards coming out on the other side in Game 5 for Max LaPierre. That was successful. That was the lone goal in that game, that play. They tried it again early in Game 6, as I mentioned. Bieksa off the boards. Henrik Sedin fanned missed. And from that point forward, it was really pretty much all systems go for Tim Thomas and for the Boston Bruins. Tim Thomas was incredible in Game 6 yet again. There had been talk even before Game 6 took place going into that game that no matter what happened the rest of the series, win or lose for the Boston Bruins, Tim Thomas would be the Conn Smythe Trophy winner, the Conn Smythe Award winner. I think that after Game 6, I think it's been cemented even further. I know there were some people that said before Game 6 that even with Luongo's couple of bad games in Boston, that if he was able to maybe pitch a shutout in Game 6, maybe only give up one goal, that he would be a Conn Smythe Award winner, or at least a candidate for that. I think any notion of that has been squashed after Game 6, after getting pulled, 3 goals in 8 minutes and 35 seconds. Just another dreadful game from Luongo where it's obvious from the very beginning of the game that he just flat out doesn't have it. I talked about this a little bit on Twitter, twitter.com/Adam_Summers, if you want to follow along. My hockey rants, mostly hockey rants throughout the throughout the days or weeks on Twitter. But in any event, I was saying that for Luongo in particular and for the Vancouver Canucks in general, I am not sure if there has been a more important game for one player or one franchise in recent memory in the National Hockey League. Because you look at any of the possible scenarios for the Vancouver Canucks, let's just run down them. You look at the best case scenario for them, and this is really the only one that is a perfect scenario, is that Roberto Luongo starts Game 7, which he's going to. The Vancouver Canucks win. Roberto Luongo has a very, very good performance. They win the cup. It exorcises some of the demons. But you look at any other scenario, win or lose for the Canucks, and yes, if you win the cup, obviously that's the most important thing. Everybody's going to be celebrating, getting drunk all summer. But let's say Game 7 starts. Roberto Luongo gives up a couple goals early. Let's say he gives up 2 goals in the first 5 minutes, you know, with a minute apart. Alain Vigneault gets the hook out even earlier than he did in Game 6. Corey Schneider comes in. The Vancouver Canucks come back and win the Stanley Cup. All right, that's obviously great if you're the Vancouver Canucks or you're a Canucks fan. But where does that leave Roberto Luongo? You've got your franchise goaltender who's been shaky throughout the playoffs, and he's sitting on the bench after getting pulled, while Corey Schneider, your extremely talented young backup goaltender, comes in, holds down the fort, and wins the Stanley Cup for your team. Where do you go from there in 2011, 2012, and beyond when Roberto Luongo's got 10 years left on his contract at big money, and you've got a guy in Corey Schneider who, if this hypothetical plays out, has just won you the Stanley Cup? So you've got that as one potential scenario. You've got the other scenario is obviously winning the cup, or I should say losing the cup, is bad. Let's say Luongo plays a good game, but they lose 3-2, for example. Well, okay, it's not as bad as if Luongo gets pulled, but you can look back to those three games where Roberto Luongo was terrible, laid an egg, and you can look back and say, well, if he had just played good in one of those games, if he had played well in just one of those games, you would have won the Stanley Cup. That's obviously a bad scenario. And then there's the absolute nightmare worst scenario for the Vancouver Canucks and Roberto Luongo, which is he gets shelled early. He gives up 2 or 3 goals early in the first 10 minutes of the first period. He gets the hook. Boston scores a couple quick goals, just like they did in Game 6, puts the game out of reach, and Vancouver loses in their 40th anniversary year in Rogers Arena with Roberto Luongo getting pulled as the President's Trophy winning team. There would be so many question marks. You would have an already fragile fan base that is completely devastated. You would have your franchise goaltender who, at that point, I don't know how he would be able to show his face in Vancouver wearing a Canucks jersey ever again, but you've got the issue of the monster contract, both in terms of money and term, to where even if you wanted to move him, how realistic is that? That would be a scenario that I don't know if that organization recovers from in its current form. I don't know if you'd see Alain Vigneault around, even if it was, you know, a Game 7 Stanley Cup Finals loss. I don't know if you'd see Alain Vigneault. I don't know what they would do with Roberto Luongo. I don't know how the fans would react. And the other aspect is that, I mean, you've got the Sedins. I mean, Henrik Sedin, finally showed up for the series somewhat in terms of getting on the score sheet in Game 6, his first goal of the series. Daniel hasn't been much more effective. Ryan Kesler, after a dominant first three rounds of the playoffs, partially slowed by injury, it seems, but Ryan Kesler has not been, through six games, the force that he had been throughout the rest of the playoffs. So there will be, if Vancouver loses the Stanley Cup Finals Game 7, no matter what, there will be a lot of questions. But if they lose Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals in a similar manner to any of the other three losses they've had so far in the series, it would be absolutely devastating to that franchise. On the Boston side, yes, Boston has pressure too. It's been a long drought since they've won the Stanley Cup. Fought their way back to Game 7. But I cannot fathom the pressure in Boston, on the Boston Bruins, being anywhere near to the level of the Vancouver Canucks, whether it be Roberto Luongo, the Sedins, the whole franchise in general. The immense pressure, both in terms of hockey, in terms of civic pride, in terms of everything that is rolled into what the Vancouver Canucks mean to that community. If they blow this series, it is going to be, it will be, I would imagine, for their fan base and for their organization, hard to put into words. And I would think that even though they would be coming that close to winning the cup, that some major changes would have to take place. So we shall see. From the Boston perspective, it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do in this series, in that you have 3-1 goal losses. Yes, those are still losses, but those are all games that they could have won, even in Game 1, where I thought they looked pretty terrible and Tim Thomas held them in the majority of that game. But you look at what they have been able to do in the absence of Nathan Horton, who was knocked out of the series early. What Rich Peverly, most of all, Rich Peverly has done, stepping up into Nathan Horton's spot at times. The fact that Boston, throughout the series, has been at least as good, if not better, than Vancouver on the power play, which I don't think anybody would have expected going in. And that's still with several games where Boston had ample opportunities to score on the power play. Many power plays in the first period, I believe, of the second game, if I'm not mistaken. If not, feel free to correct me. But they were unable to convert early, and that came back. That's really come back to haunt them in all three of the losses in Vancouver, has been their inability to convert on the power play. So what we're left with is a scenario where one of two things is going to happen. We're either going to see the same pattern hold, and Vancouver be able to shut Boston down, keep them from being able to get second chances, insulate Luongo from traffic in front, or we're going to see Boston finally figure out a way to at least transfer part of their home game that they've had throughout this series, figure out a way to transfer part of that to their game in Vancouver. And a lot of it's matchups. The fact that the Sedins, even if it hasn't necessarily resulted in them scoring a great deal at home either, still the ability to maintain offensive pressure is much more apparent for Vancouver at home when they've been able to get away from the matchup against Char and Seidenberg a little bit more than they have been able to on the road in Boston. So, I mean, we'll see. There's not a whole lot else left to say. As you can probably tell, I'm pretty fired up for Game 7. It just, to me, it has all the hallmarks of a game that, even if the game itself is not great, I mean, we could see another blowout on either, you know, in favor of either team. But regardless, it is going to be incredible theater for all the reasons that I laid out earlier, particularly on the Vancouver side, in that this, to me, is one of those franchise-defining moments for the Vancouver Canucks. It is one of those career-defining moments for Roberto Luongo. And it's pretty rare that you get a chance to watch, you know, that sort of moment unfold live. So, live, obviously, on TV. I'm not flying out to Vancouver, but very, very much looking forward to this. And it speaks of the power of the game of hockey, at least for me. And that, as I've said before on the show, as I've said on the Big Audio Nightmare with Mike Sempervivi at F4WOnline.com, these are, probably, if I'm going to speak as a fan, subjectively as a fan, Boston and Vancouver, probably two of, if not my two least favorite teams in the league. As somebody who follows Montreal and Chicago as closely as I do, they, in a 24-hour span, killed my playoff dreams. And yet, here I am, in the middle of June, as fired up as you could be about a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals between those two teams. So that that about covers it. Hockey's great. Sad that it'll be about 3 months until training camp opens, but you can't ask for much more than a Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals. So I think with that, I'm going to close out this brief edition of the show, as I said, being recorded from a parking garage in Uptown Chicago. I hope you enjoyed it. I hope the audio quality is all right. We will be back later in the week with a Stanley Cup Finals wrap-up, and then, with any luck, be back next week with a NHL draft preview. As I've mentioned before, the Breakout Hockey program is not going away in the off-season. We'll be back with at least two shows a month, particularly as events warrant, surrounding free agency, anything else that's going on. We will be here to discuss it. So if you're looking for your hockey fix during the off-season, this is the place to be. I'll be attending the Blackhawks Prospect Camp, 3 of the 5 days of that, in the second week of July. So I should be able to have something to report about there as far as Blackhawk prospects, if that's the type of thing you're interested in. But we'll be talking about the whole league throughout the offseason. So as I always say, thank you very much for listening so far throughout the season. I hope you continue to do so. If you are lucky enough to be in Vancouver and be attending Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Finals, just have as much fun as you could possibly have, I guess. And enjoy the hockey. I know I will. And as always, please do one thing for me. Keep it simple.